want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. It's another beautiful day in North Texas. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just give thanks for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, all the courts of this land, all the judges. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. You said, don't give you rest, Father, till you make Israel a praise in all the earth. I thank you, Father, that you have a plan and you never turn from that plan, and you're working it and bringing it to pass to this very day. I give thanks for all your people. I pray you grant every one of them a spirit of grace. All right. You know, I said last week that having fear and trembling, as it's written in Philippians 2:12, is just, if you know, to get out of yielding to willful sin. But that's not what that scripture's saying. Let's read it, Philippians 2:12 Amplified. So then, my dear sons, and God corrected me about that. I was walking through my house, and it was just right there in my heart. I said, no, that's not right. And I knew immediately it wasn't right. But sometimes you'll speak off the cuff, and you thought you had it right. Okay, anyway. verse 12, Amplified Bible. So then, my dear ones, just as you've always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation, that is to cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. This is simply saying we need to go on to perfection, work out our salvation, and the very next verse is saying, as we do this, God is working in us as we believe. See, the working out, we don't work for our salvation. That's clear. The work, Jesus said, the work of God is to believe. So the working is in bringing our salvation to completion is by continuing to believe. And this is for every believer. And then in verse 13, it says, for it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, to make you able to do it. So as you do this, as you work out your salvation, God will be working in you. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And then, you know, and then if you read on in there, it tells us to continue to develop godly character. Now look at verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So working out your salvation is bringing it to completion, and it brings us into a greater security, and we come to the place we'll never fall. Not that you have to, it is not saying that you have to reach a place of spiritual growth to go to heaven. Okay, because we can prove that with many scriptures. The thief on the cross just said, he called upon the name of the Lord, and Jesus said, this day will thou be with me in paradise. We know of people that have never worked out their salvation, continue to overcome things, grow in Christ, and they went to be with the Lord. So, and we know it's a gift. So you don't earn gifts. So that's, but going on to perfections, you become more fruitful. You can be more used by God to help other people. And then also you become more established in the faith. So in the days to come when things get hard, you won't fall away from the faith. Many people, you couldn't get most people to turn away from God and renounce Christ, unless you've got some real bondages in you. But when the pressure comes in the beginning of sorrows and in the great tribulation, that could be another thing. So, and let's look at an example of people walking in the fear of the Lord. And this is the terror of the Lord, great fear. Acts 9:31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. This is built up, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. So these people had the fear of God. They were being built up and they were being comforted. Okay, so let's trust God. You're not working out your salvation in fear of making it to heaven. You're trusting God. You're working out your salvation to go into a greater security, and so you'll never fall away. Okay, Hebrews 7:25, International Standard Version. Therefore, because he always lives to intercede for them, he is able to save completely those that come to God through him. See, now it's the Lord Jesus Christ saving us completely. Our job, our work we do is to believe. Okay, so now I also want to say a few more things about repentance, because I talked about that last week. Romans 2:4, English Standard Version. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance, but because of your hard and impenitent heart. Now that's where the problem is about resisting being changed. You are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. So having our hearts broken is a part of being brought to repentance. Okay? So, you know, it's you being brought to repentance is you start to turn from things that are wrong, but you have to be broken so God can get all that stuff out of your heart. And it also deals with we're broken so we don't want to do these things anymore. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. And this is what God was bringing to my attention. This word damage means injury, detriment, loss. It's the same Greek word used when Paul was describing, let's look at that, Acts 27:10. And he said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Same Greek word, not only to the lady in the ship, but also of our lives. So this damage that you can cause by teaching worldly sorrow is not just keeping them from overcoming their sins or keeping them dead spiritually. Although that's true, it can also damage people's hearts. All right? It can wound someone's heart. You know, and just by putting a mental stress on them and condemning them can cause physical damage. Also, let's read that again, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repentant, but sorrow of the world worketh death. And this word death is death or deadly. Another scripture using the same Greek word death is Jesus was obedient to the death of the cross. And this is a physical death. So godly sorrow will cause you to repent. Worldly sorrow will cause or work death in you. So it's, like I said, it's not just keeping you from overcoming your sin. It can actually do damage to you, work death in you, kill you physically. And it sounds like a slow death, but nevertheless, it could have sent people to their grave earlier. So there needs to be a correction in the ministers of this land all over the world. You know, right before I woke up the other morning, this minister was speaking correction and shaming me, and this was in a dream. And God has obviously set me free, but I woke up. When I woke up, I lay in bed for a while with torment sitting on me, and I was sick all day. And like I said, I believe God will set me free from some damage done to me through words spoken to me through preachers. I had this one preacher, he told me I'd been working out my salvation, and he came up to me and he said, well, if God hadn't got rid of you yet, I guess you're going to make it. I thought, damn, man, can you believe you talked to someone that was laboring to believe, that was applying the word of God in their life, was that had fear and trembling before God, and you'd come up and say that to them? This minister ministered a lot of condemnation to me. Ephesians 6:16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, these are words spoken by the wicked that can hurt you. Psalm 64:4, and that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly they shoot at him and fear not. And like I said, I believe words spoken against you can injure you. And I had another time, I was sleeping one time, and I saw this person speaking against me, and it was afflicting me. And I began to bless that person, and all of that affliction broke off me, and I overcame that person while I was sleeping. And you know, it says, bless them that curse you. That's the way you deal with it. Don't You can't overcome the devil yielding the devil. You can't have the devil stirring someone up and then you stand up to him and strive and hate and start speaking against him. You've got to overcome evil with good. Okay, you've got to yield to God and then you can overcome the devil. Let the Lord lead you how you pray. Okay, I'm about to sneeze. Devil's been making me sick too. It's an oppression of the devil. Anyway, I believe preachers speaking all this shame and guilt on people have hurt them. Physical damage. Okay, let's talk about temptations. A big part of the temptation of the devil is to keep you from believing the truth. And you know, we think of temptations just to be lured or enticed, seduced, the devil pulling on us to do something wrong. And that's certainly true. But the devil also works on keeping you from believing the truth because he knows the truth will set you free from the lust of the devil. So he can no longer pull you away. So that's part of the temptation. Just like the same thing in repentance. It's not just turning from sin, but also turning to the truth. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay, so it's the truth. It's getting the truth revealed to your heart. I had one time where the devil was tormenting me thinking I was a terror. And I finally came to the place, I asked the Lord, I said, "Well, how can you prove to me with your word that I'm not a terror?" Immediately, John 1:12 came up my heart. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how the truth sets you free. And I went to John 1:12 and it said, "As many as received him, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God." And as soon as I read that, my heart was brought to the place where I could grab a hold of that, where I could receive that. I'd read that many times. But see, you have to receive the truth. You have to know the truth. You have to have revelation of it. You have to get it, understanding of it, and grasp a hold of it. And when you do, it'll set you free in that area. So when God brought that scripture up to me, "I've given you the authority to become a son of God," I said, "Well, I don't have to be a terror. I can believe. I can choose to believe." You can too. Nobody is preordained to be a terror. Okay? The word does not teach that. It says he's given us the authority to become sons of God. All right? And my heart grabbed a hold of that, and I've never been tormented with thinking I was a terror again. All right? Matthew 4:4. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.'" Okay, Jesus has given us an example, and the Word of God has given us an example of how Jesus was tempted and how we'll be tempted. But he answered and said, "It is written." Now, this is how you stand up to the devil. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Okay? And he said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God." Now, you notice the devil's tempting with who Jesus is. "Cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." He said, "Well, Jesus knew who he was." Well, I don't know, because he had to be born and become a man, and God had to reveal all these things to him. And the devil was tempting with him. See, the devil's trying to keep Jesus from believing who he is and believing he was the Christ. You know, later on, after he overcame, you know what the devil did? Jesus be speaking, and the devils will scream out and say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They could no longer say, "If thou be the Son of God." He overcame that, and he was moving in power, and then they began to cry out, "This is who you are." Okay, John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Okay, now Jesus knew it was by the Spirit that these things were revealed to us. It's by the Spirit the Word of God's revealed to you. It's by the Spirit of revelation that you get a hold of these things and overcome. See, and he said, if I go away, the Comforter, I have to go away so the Comforter will come. That part I don't understand, but that's what he said. Okay, so when he's come, the Comforter of the Spirit of truth, he will reprove, this is convince the world of sin, righteous judgment. Sin because they believed not on me. Of righteousness because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. We have to have revealed our heart. The devil's already been judged. And then stand in that and believe that. Now, you will have to overcome some things for the faith of God to work in you and to spoil these principalities and powers. And we're going to get into that. But these things all need to be revealed to you. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. See, Jesus wants, he will keep speaking truth to us by the Spirit. We'll keep overcoming to be set free, but we can only get so much at once. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So as the Lord opens our heart by the Spirit to his word, it'll set us free. Now, I just want to speak a word of encouragement. To those of you that have grown weary with putting forth effort to overcome, and you're not seeing much progress, and you'd like to see, more, I totally understand. And I'm seeking God for answers about this. You know, I thought about this the other day, you know, because God, I talk to God all the time, and he hears me, and he answers me. And I was thinking about how God led Moses into the wilderness for 40 years to prepare him to lead God's people out of bondage. And Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30 years old. And we have a record of Jesus talking about the things of God when he was 12 years old. But it wasn't until 18 years later he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil so he could be purified and be transformed. And then he got out moving in the power of God, and then he could start leading God's people. So there are many others who God has prepared in like manner through the scripture. We can read about them to lead his people like King David and to lead his people out of bondage. And one of the big heresies in the body of Christ is to say one prayer and you got a whole new heart. And you don't even begin to get rid of the old man until you're baptized in water. And I hear people all the time say, well, that's just a, you know, symbolism. They don't have any revelation of what it is. That's why they talk like that. They don't know that's how to get rid of the sin nature. That's the start of getting rid of the sin nature. And it's an ongoing process, and that's why you have a problem with sin. And let me say this, being born again and being saved is the same thing. It's an ongoing process. Let's look at that. Titus 3:5, Common English Bible. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of righteous things we've done. Now, how did he do it? He did it through the washing of new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. He saved us, or got us born again, which is the same thing, and it's through the washing and renewing by the work of the Spirit of God. This is an ongoing process. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1:17, Common English Bible. Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. And Christ didn't send me to preach the good news with clever words so that Christ's cross would be emptied of its meaning. The message of the cross is foolishness to those that are being destroyed, but it's it's power of God to those of us who are being saved. Now, all these scriptures I'm reading are talking about an ongoing work of the Spirit of God in the life and the hearts of God's people. Let's go ahead and let's take a break here, and we'll put in a song, then we'll continue on. Let's do I Shall Not Be Moved by Pamela Pontia.
Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In his love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though the tempest rages, I shall not be moved. On the rock of ages, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I'm on my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. On my way to heaven, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved.
All right. Okay. We're going to get back to looking at temptation and how it works good in our life. You know, I knew this person who felt sick all over one time, and the Lord said, don't yield to that. The person said, what do you mean don't yield to that? I feel sick all over. See, you know what God was saying? That's a temptation of the devil. An evil spirit was oppressing this person. Jesus took away our sickness on the cross. That's the truth. That has already been done. We're tempted not to believe the truth. And just like Jesus was tempted not to believe who he was. And when sickness comes on you, it's an oppression of the devil. But the reason, it's also a temptation because we're healed through the gospel. The devil is trying to keep us from believing that. And we have to have our heart opened up to that. That's just a temptation. We are healed. He's been judged. Everything's been done on the cross. We have to stand fast and believe that. See, and the devil's working overtime to keep us from believing the finished work of Christ on the cross. You know, I went over that teaching about the old man dying and being buried with Christ and then being raised up with Christ. I talked about that several weeks in a row. And as we get the law of Moses raised from our heart, we're going to be, it's just like when Jesus was raised from the dead and began to put off all those principalities and powers of the devil off him. We're gonna be likewise as we attain unto the resurrection of Christ, which is being raised up with him, coming out of our sins, right there in those scriptures. We're gonna do just the same thing that Jesus did. Then we'll have the faith of God operating in us to spoil all the principalities and all the powers and all the rulers of the darkness world. Okay? So die to sin, get delivered from the law, be raised up with Christ, be made alive unto God. Then we'll have the faith to put these evil spirits off. And most people, they don't even still think the devil has any influence over their life at all, but he does. You know, I was sitting in my apartment years back, and all of a sudden I had this urge to rebel against God. It was a temptation of the devil, and I thought it was just me. Here I am being rebellious. You could not tell any difference between my old man of rebellion and that spirit. But I was sitting there praying, and all of a sudden I could discern it was an evil spirit sitting on me. And I began to bind that spirit, and I felt that spirit lift off the room. And as that evil spirit lifted off me, I no longer wanted to rebel. It was totally a devil, but it was a temptation. All right. Now, if I'd have yielded to the temptation, I'd have rebelled against God. And let me say this also. You don't have to totally overcome all your sin to start overcoming the devil. But the more you're born again, the more you die to sin, the more you're regenerated spiritually, the more you can overcome. Look at 1 John 5:4, Amplified Bible. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. Now, how many Christians you know just received Jesus and they've overcome all the principalities and the powers and the rules of darkness world, and they're all dead to sin? See, I'm telling you, this scripture that they've been quoting to Christ, about anyone in Christ, he's a new creature, old things pass away, all things come new. Yes, being in Christ is just receiving Christ. Yes, this was all worked out on the cross. We were all made a new creature, old things pass away. That didn't instantaneously happen. If every bad thing about you had passed away and everything became new in you, that would be perfection. We wouldn't need to be talking about correction. We wouldn't have to walk through temptations. We wouldn't have to be delivered unto death. We wouldn't have to go through any of this. Just say one prayer. All the old things passed away. Everything became new. Boom, instantaneous Christian. Perfect. That's describing perfection. Do you see that? Okay, 1 John 5:4 again. Everyone is born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that conquered and overcame the world. Our continuous, persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God. And so as the more you're born again, the more you'll overcome the devil. This is hard for a lot of people to get a hold of, because if you've been taught all your life that you received Jesus, you had a whole new heart. Yet I just read regeneration or rebirth is an ongoing washing and renewing of the spirit. Okay, the devil would like to deceive us about temptation. You know, I watched cartoons when I was a kid, and they would show a little devil, you know, in one ear saying, "Go ahead, do that bad thing." And then a little angel in the other ear saying, "No, don't do it." But with the temptation with the devil, it's much harder than that. An evil spirit could put strong urges on you to do things that are wrong and make you want to do them, move you to do them. The devil's a supernatural spirit, and he can move you to do things. All right? Now, it depends on the condition of his heart, what he can get you to do. The devil have a hard time getting you to move. If your head is sexual on you and you desire, as a man, you desire a woman, and you despise homosexuality, he'll have a hard time getting you to go be with a man. Okay, those devils have a hard time getting you to do that. But with a homosexual, they move on that homosexual because he's got those vile affections in his heart and move him to do that. And I'm not condemning you homosexuals. Jesus Christ will receive you. You walk with him, and he'll set you free just like he'll set the rest of us free from our sins. Luke 8:29. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he kept bound with chains and fetters, and he broke the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. See, the devil can drive you to do things. Now, this was the gathering, and he was very taken over by the devil. Most people aren't in this condition of heart and this bound by the devil. Okay? So the devil may only have most people have a much smaller hold on him, but any area the devil has a hold on you, he can lead you around. Just like if you have unforgiveness, you got to get rid of that, or the devil has a hold of you in that area. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 2:10. To whom ye forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of those devices. Okay, the devil gets advantage over any person who doesn't forgive. Advantage means to make a gain, have the upper hand on us. People who don't forgive are in an inferior position to the devil in that area. Okay, and you know, as I study scripture, I could see the connection between evil spirits and sin in us, and how people are, as people are made righteous and walk in righteousness, they overcome the devil, and people who walk in sin are yielded to the devil. Okay, look at this in 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. See how servants of God deal with people in rebellion? In meekness, not being real hard on them, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance, acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. See, as we're brought to repentance, we, out of any particular sin, we recover ourselves out of the snare of the devil in that area. And as you practice the word of God, you'll notice, wow, I'm not bound up in this area or another area. Little by little, you'll say, oh, the devil doesn't have a hold of me. Or you may not even have known it was a spirit doing this. You may just say, I don't have a problem with that sin anymore. Okay. But to overcome sin, we have to be tempted with it. This is the part you have to understand. The temptation actually sets us free from it. And this temptation is called the suffering of Christ. Let's read that, Hebrews 2:16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. This is Jesus becoming a man. Wherefore in all things it behooved him, it was needful for Jesus to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He had to be a flesh and blood man being crucified. All right? That's why the devil, Antichrist spirit, will not ever admit that Jesus became a man. He won't say it. He'll also try to tell you that Jesus isn't God, too. He never gave up being God. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now, Jesus emptied himself. We saw that in Philippians 2, and walked as a man. So he didn't walk around in his own supernatural power or his own authority. He walked as a man, but he was still God. Okay, Jesus suffered going through temptation, and he wouldn't have suffered if he was walk around as God. He suffered as a man because he took on him the seed of Abraham, and with the seed of Abraham came the sin nature passed down. All right? He wouldn't have been tempted if he didn't have any sin in him. But see, he took upon him, he didn't take on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham, and Adam, the sin of Adam was passed on through Abraham and all the way through Christ. It's passed on all men after Adam. Okay, now here it says Jesus suffered being tempted, and it says he's able to succor us, and that means aid us as we go through temptation. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Let's read that in the English Standard Version. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange happened to you. Now, the devil's not going to tempt you with, say, adultery when you have a heart that says, no way will I yield to that. You just can't stand that. He's going to hit you some other area. Maybe you have a problem with covetousness and you like to covet things. He'll hit you in that area. Maybe you... whatever, that's where the devil's going to tempt you with, and that's where you need to be tempted so you can overcome it. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that's being tempted of the devil, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. See, and I've taught this in other teaching, as you get purified and the old man's put to death, Christ will rule through you and the glory of God will manifest through you. Gets good, folks. That's where we're headed. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He's there, but he's not living through us because too much of our sin is living through us. 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, Jesus suffered temptation and he suffered the death of the cross. Likewise, we suffer temptation and we suffer as our old man dies with Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. And what I'm trying to show you is part of you being conformable onto the death of Jesus is going through the temptation. Okay? That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now we saw those sufferings are being tempted, being made conformable on to his death. Okay? Fellowship of Christ is suffering, being tempted. And as we go through it, we're being made conformable to Christ's death. That is the old man died. Verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Jesus had to die physically, then he was raised up from the dead physically. We have to die to the sin in us, and then we are raised up with Christ. And that's here in the earth, coming out of all of our sins, made alive unto God. And that's perfection, and that's what it's talking about here. Verse 12, not as though I'd already attained, or either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may, apprehend that which I also have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, once again, some of this may be pretty overwhelming, especially when you don't know how to walk in this. But let me just say this to encourage you. God's going to have to raise up some leaders in the body of Christ that are strong. We need some more apostles like Paul and Peter, James and John, who are moving in the power of God and in the Spirit of God and overcome all this sin and all these principalities, because their ministry, the apostle prophet's ministry, is to rebuild the hearts of God's people. You can overcome some sin. You can die some to the old man. You can overcome some of these devils, but you're not going to get all this worked out without the apostles and the prophets. I'm just telling you. You know, and I was thinking about this the other day, how Paul said, there are not many fathers. Let's look at that. 1 Peter 4:15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, look what he did as a father. I've begotten you through the gospel. Okay, people rerattle that and say, oh yeah, he preached the gospel to them and they got born again. No, he begotten them. He got them born again. Well, why didn't the other 10,000 instructors of Christ do it? They preached Christ. Do you see what this is saying? Keep reading it. Did you know that spiritual fathers are what gets people born again? Begotten means to be born, to regenerate, to procreate. See, and that Greek word is the same Greek word, 1 John 5:1, this where it's referring to being born again. Let's read that. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot him, that's God that begot them, also they love him that is begotten of him. Those are that are born again of him. Now, it's God working through the apostles and the prophets, getting people's hearts rebuilt, getting their hearts born again. All right? did you notice that the 10,000 instruction of Christ, they didn't get you born again? Well, if being born again was just to receive Christ, why didn't those 10,000 instructors get the job done? Because it's not just receiving Christ. To get born again, you have to have your heart rebuilt by the apostles and prophets. See, until the ministry of the apostles and prophets raised back up, that's when we'll see people fully born again and brought unto perfection. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10, Paul is called a builder. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. But verse 10, Paul is called a builder. And in verse 9, it says, we're the building. Okay? He's the builder. We're the building. And this is obviously referring to our hearts being rebuilt. Paul was not rebuilding the bodies. That was his ministry then. And that was after Jesus was raised from the dead. So don't say that after Jesus was raised from the dead, they just said one prayer and got reborn, their hearts reborn. We already read to you that it's the washing of regeneration, the washing of rebirth. It's an ongoing rebirth. It's an ongoing saving. And it says right in that scripture, it's the same thing. Okay, let's look at another scripture. It talks about apostles and prophets rebuilding the heart. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. These apostles and prophets are building a building, and it's the temple of the Lord. That's where God dwells. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded. You're that temple. You're the house that Christ dwells in. And it has to be rebuilt. Ye are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Let's read that same verse in English Standard Verse. In whom ye also are being built together into a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. See, this stuff has been hidden. Paul said that he was travailing in birth until Christ be formed us. He was bringing forth children. There's not many fathers. The fathers do it. The fathers in the body of Christ bring forth the children. The 10,000 instructors in Christ, they can't do it. Now, they can come behind and build things on your heart after the apostles and prophets start laying the foundation. It says, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. There's a need for the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors. But you have to have the apostles and prophets start the foundation. That's the start rebuilding of the heart. Then they come behind and build on that same heart. Okay? So, I showed you two places where apostles and prophets are builders and you're the building. And so all of you out there, God knows you're just flesh and blood. He knows you can only do so much. You know, you can read his word, you can practice his word, but you and me, we all need God's spirit, his spirit to rebuild our hearts, get fully born again so we can overcome, then we'll begin. You know, it says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So don't feel beat up down there if you say, well, I haven't gone very far spiritually. A lot of people haven't. I don't pray as much as I should. Well, exercise your will to do it, but don't be condemned if you keep falling short all the time. God's got to rebuild your heart. God's got to enlarge your heart so you can run the way of his commandment. I'm not making it easy, but I'm telling you, you're only going to get here through faith, and God's going to have to raise up the apostles and the prophets' ministry. And yes, if you want to know what my ministry is, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm a teacher. And God revealed that to me. He revealed I was a prophet, and I know I was sent forth to speak to the body of Christ. Now, I don't believe every spiritual experience. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4, it says God reveals to his apostles and prophets the mystery of Christ. And that's what he's done with me. So I have God speaking to me. I have God giving me the revelation of how he rebuilds the heart. And it's the rebuilding of the heart. And I can link that all to being born again. And those that are born again overcome the world. He's putting all these mysteries of Christ together. He's revealed it to me, and I could show you. And well, let's read it. I'll show you that is the apostle prophet's ministry. So I have the revelation, God speaking to me, revealing to me who I was in Christ, and then showing me in his word who I was in Christ. Ephesians 3:4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto who? His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So, like I said, I have the revelation by the Spirit. I have the voice of God speaking to me. God, when he was ministering to me about the prophet's ministry, he revealed to me about the apostle, the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Christ, and then he called me as a prophet. And he was showing me about the honor on those two men. And I knew what God was saying. I said, glory be to God. Glory be to God. So anyway, but he's preparing me right now. But just stay with God, because God is going to raise up apostles and prophets. No, I'm not the only one. There's lots of them out there. Even in Paul's day, there wasn't very many in Paul's day, but we have a lot of people there, 8 plus billion. So it's going to take some apostles and prophets to lead. And I'm not saying all that's going to be the body of Christ. Of course not. But to lead a large group and get them prepared for the coming of the Lord. So that's all I've got for this podcast. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.